Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome to Fireteam Chat, IGN's Destiny show. Joining me today is CJ Gibson.
What's up?
Fran Mirabella.
Hey, Guardians.
And Sean Finnegan.
Chomp chomp.
Now, if you're listening to the audio version, thank you so much. And if you would be so kind, please leave us some love in the form of a review. On today's show, we'll be discussing our take on all the new raids now that we've played all of them, discuss the patch notes, and the positive and potential negatives of the game coming to PC. First, the news. In Destiny 2 news, we only have one tidbit to go along with the fact that the big reveal is coming on May 18th. Apparently, GameStop will be receiving new in-store marketing materials as early as next week. Hopefully, it's something new so we can speculate the day away. In Destiny 1, the final raid, Wrath of the Machine, has been released at 390 light. Bungie did note in their weekly update that you will still have to complete the 380 version should you want to complete the Rise of Iron book. Bungie also released a patch to address those pesky notifications that kept popping up and the endless Trials of Osiris matches. Everything should be running a little bit smoother now. That's it for this week, but be sure to keep your eyes on IGN.com for all your Destiny 2 news before the big reveal. Now, let's talk about raiding. All the raids are out. We've all played all of them. What do you guys think of the remastering of the raids?
Good. Need more armor drops.
Yes, armor drops have been stingy. Yeah. Before the show, I like went through to see if I got a complete set on anybody. Nope.
Yeah.
So we've all not missed a raid, right? Like everyone's done them on all their characters since they've been coming out?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've only ever gotten one armor piece. It's the Willbreaker's Fists from the Crota raid.
Yep.
And I got the ornament as well, and they look really awesome. But frankly, it's not as cool without the whole set.
Yeah.
And it seems like, I mean, I've done the Crota now twice, one for each character. And I've done all the other raids as well, and that's the only armor piece I've gotten. It seems very weighted towards weapons. Am I wrong? Yeah.
So I've gotten almost all the weapons. There's only one I don't have now. And that's Vision and Confluence. Vision and Vex, Mythoclast. I cannot get Vex to drop.
Right. Yeah, no,
I've ran it every week. Ran Vault every single week.
Wow.
Still hasn't dropped. What about you, Fran?
So when I ran Vault, I didn't get any armor whatsoever, shocking.
I got armor materials.
That was only once. So like I just played the new raids. I played Crota several times. I played Vault of Glass. I guess it was twice because we played for fun after. But anyway, I didn't get any armor drops whatsoever. And that was surprising. And I was kind of remembering, going through all the various balances to RNG. And like, you got to look at it two ways, right? It's like, you just couldn't get Praetorian foil before. Kratos timepiece was rare. Vex was rare.
Brian Malkowitz got two of those.
Right?
Now,
I played on the first raid through Crota's End. I got two Fang of Ear Utes.
Yeah.
And so something I think is going on with the balance.
I'm getting a ton of legendaries.
You probably remember with Kingsfall as well, right? The Ghost. Huge, hugely, or a small drop rate.
Yeah.
So that was a huge issue though.
Yeah, 30 of those.
Yeah, they had to adjust it. I think that's what's going on, if you want my personal opinion. I think they've got balancing to do, and they just haven't got to it yet.
Bolt of Glass seems like it has year one drop rates, basically, where everything was super hard to get. For me, anyway, that's been my
experience. But the weapons are super high drop rate. Meaning, just think about it.
Weapons are
high drop rate. You've got all the weapons, like,
talking about armor. Yeah. Armor seems like it's
armor,
the same.
Yeah.
But certain weapons, none of us have Vex, right?
No.
No.
And so Vex is kind of like the Fatebringer of that one. Like, I don't have that. I don't have Vex.
Like Fatebringer used to be, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, maybe. Exactly. I don't think it's that bad.
You know, it took you a while to get that, so.
Vex is sort of like Galahorn. I mean, it's not that powerful this time.
No.
But still, it's hard to get.
And it's a vanity weapon you want. Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, and same thing for me. I don't have any of the armors at all. You know, bummer. And but the
full sets, you mean?
Full, yeah. Well, no. I got one cloak, I think, for the Hunter.
You hardly got anything.
Yeah.
Wow, that's all. All?
That's it. That's tons nice. Of weapons and lots of, yeah, the same legendary and exotic version. So Fang of Your Ute, legendary, exotic, you know, Abyss Defiant, legendary, exotic. But it's weird that, yeah, that's about it. There's a lot I'm missing, though. So
it sounds
looking
like
at my analysis paper here, everybody is missing two pieces. Everybody's gotten their class items for Vault, but like Titan's missing helmet and arms. Hunter is missing arms and chest. Warlock's missing chest and boots.
And you've played a lot, though.
Yeah, I've done it every single week. Vault is my favorite raid, and I want that full set on one of my characters. I have 30 ornaments, like, ready to go.
Yeah.
But I don't want to cash them in, especially if I'm going to get double rolls, and it's going to be a higher roll.
Yeah, sure.
A lot of people on my raid team are like, dude, Destiny 1, like, your stuff isn't transferring over. Don't worry about it. But I'm like, but I'm going to get those double drops. Like, I might as well.
I'd wait.
Have something to play, yeah.
You have 30 ornaments, though. I think you have plenty.
Easy. Like,
what am I going to do? Put them on something, then delete that armor?
I know. You want a perfect set on each character, is what you're saying. So across
I just
all
want,
the
once I get a complete set, I'm going to cash them in.
Okay. Meaning you'll accept whatever role you get then.
Basically.
But until then, you'd rather wait out just to see if you get a better helm.
I mean, the armor isn't transferring over. So let's be honest. The reason we're all trying to collect the full set is so that we can screenshot that and put it on our Twitters and look really cool because it's all going away.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well,
it's not worth it unless you have the full set.
But that's not totally true. Like, well, meaning like
you
it
play
is
with this armor.
Well, yeah, you are right. So like, it's nice to get whatever max intellect or whatever. But what if you want to show it off in Crucible? It's definitely worth it.
Yeah.
PvP gear.
The Titan thing, we call that Wi-Fi?
Yeah, the Wi-Fi.
Oh, really? Nice, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, I know I see you in DIM every time I walk by. I was like, oh, Destin's managing, like, make sure everything is perfect. But
I did 3 raid runs last night. Delete this duplicate. Yeah.
I just want the armor. I'm less concerned about the stats. It's cool to just have it, you know. Like I said, Destiny 1's going away in a few months, and it's neat to have it. But yeah, I'm not so concerned about getting the exact best role like you.
Well, still like 5 months
away. I'm just saying, I don't have a full set yet, so I'm going to get duplicate drops, right?
So you might as well maximize.
So I'm like, well, I'm going to delete the worst drop.
Yeah.
Yes.
Why would I put an ornament on a thing I know I'm going
to
delete?
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, if you're not in a hurry to show it off, like Sean's saying, like, you might as well.
I want to show it off.
Okay.
I haven't gotten anything.
Wants to show off the whole thing.
You're going to get more ornaments. So
I'm not
going
to get a full set.
Yeah, I know, but meaning you already have a stack of ornaments. Don't you think you're going to earn more as you now continue to play?
Sure, I'll just delete 10 of them.
Exactly.
I guess that's what I'll do.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would say on the overall, going back to it, honest commentary though, I was super stoked to play Crota's End and Vault because I hadn't played them in years. Like legitimately just hadn't really gone back.
Crota's great. It's like a 20, 30 minute run. It's nice. Yeah.
And
you
I really like
how
Crota.
How short it is.
Yeah.
By the time you get to the bridge, like it's almost over.
Wrath is short too. Yeah, Crota's even shorter than Wrath. But Wrath, if you get all the right team in there that's rehearsed, is not too long either. But
I knew it.
I know. No. I was thinking about
it. No, it was rough.
I saw you were like
trouble there or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a little bit of struggle on the final encounter. Everything else was fine. Then we get to that final encounter. We just couldn't gel as a team.
I was doing the challenge though, right?
Yeah, doing the challenge where you have to empower everybody first and then slam on his back.
I just wanted to see if you looked at the camera because I kind of jumped in. And I normally interact with people in the chat and I was like, hey, I was going to say hi. And then I was like, oh, they're wiping again.
Yeah.
Maybe I just won't say anything.
Yeah, I saw you were there for a while.
Well, everyone knows that feeling. Like before I left for Austin on assignment for IGN, I tried to get a King's Fall raid in real quick, done just before the reset. And some random on my friends list, he's on my friends list, but we don't play all the time. He's like, hey, you want to do a raid? And I was like, why not? It's randoms. It's King's Fall. We've all done this before. I looked. Everyone was 400 and stuff. So I was like, why not? And we spent like 3 hours on Golgoroth, and I was
I
should have.
All your team gets the mechanics challenge? Down well, yeah. And everybody understands it. Like, it can be a struggle.
They had a really, they had a weird strat too. Like, yeah. It was a strat I've never done before, and it was meant to like be like so simple and executable that anyone who could do it, or anyone who has half a brain could do it. It still took us a long time.
Do they do one orb bridge, like one orb, and the other people on the bridge?
Yes,
that's super easy.
So I've never done that until I just did it with my crew, and I got to give shout out to Stev, Mountain Man, and a couple others. They called it the lunch line. That was the name of it. The lunch line. And it's like, you just go in behind, you shoot, and then you go, and the next person goes. So
yeah, like we,
pretty easy.
My raid crew's never done it that way. I mean, it's more effective to do like damage phase on 1 and 6 orbs, but like it's harder to do. So I get why if it's like a pickup group. All I'm saying is like everyone's had that group before where it's like for some reason something's going wrong. You haven't played with each other. Like it's not gelling, and you just spend your like an hour or two like beating against the wall.
So it's hard. I was just going to say you kind of do. I don't know if you had a clear leader of the group. That is where it gets tricky, but you kind of need that person who's like at some point you're like,
quarterback.
I've got two pieces of paper in my hand. And one is a promotion to the next phase of the raid, and the other, you're fired. And like, I hate to say, but like, I wouldn't do exactly that, but like.
Yeah, you would.
Meaning it's, maybe 100%. I would. At some point though, you have to, you are the weakest link. It is kind of a thing.
Come from the team.
That's what I've found about the raid. And granted, everybody's different. Like sometimes you're just tired, you know?
Yeah.
But you kind of got to figure out the problem and take that step back without, and this is the hard part too, Destin knows, without raging out. While you're trying to figure it out, and basically it erupts in an argument. You're like, guys, I'm trying to just like get us to the next thing because in a raid, everybody's right.
Table.
That's the hardest part. So you have a team that everybody's right.
And that's the thing is you have to be able to own up to your mistakes. Like I'll be the first one in that same raid while I whine about Golgoroth. I messed up on War Priest. I usually don't carry the aura because I do a lot of dips. So but they needed me to do it this time, so I did it. Yes. And I remember, you know, on one or two occasions, the ads, they just hid. They disappeared. I ran out of time and I killed myself. So it happens, but.
I will say this. I'm kind of a type B personality, even on Fireteam Chat. I joke that I'm with a lot of type A's. And so it's funny when I watch and tune into your guys' streams, because I don't stream. I'm probably going to start doing this here at the end of the month, but it's always funny because our stream is just super calm. We're like, hey, you know, how you doing? Not bad. What are you doing later today? And we're just playing Golgoroth, and it's like everybody's
How many other Canadians do you play with?
Well, that's the thing. There's three of them, I think. So that might be true, actually. So,
the Canadians.
I mean, there is some merit to that. I think, like Bilzak and I can't remember. There's a few other ones.
Destin's part Canadian, so it doesn't quite hold up. Something's wrong.
Theory debunked. But no, it is funny.
Came to America too young.
Too early for Destiny. But it is weird, the temperament of people when you're playing the games. It's kind of fun.
You know what though, like actually I with my main raid crew I play with, I do take more of a backseat. You've watched me play well because they play it so much more than me that actually, for those of you out there, I know there's some who are like, be quiet, Fran, you have such a loud voice on the show. And like, I get it, on the show I'd like to have a really strong opinion, type A, but actually in the raids and on my streams I'm like super chill.
I mean, yeah, when honestly, you're at the table, we're at the table, of course we're gonna have strong opinions. Like you want us to all just be here like, oh, I kind of agree with you, like that's not interesting to watch. But I'm the same way. Like, shout out to Orbs for my bros and Bodom Reaper. They know way more about Destiny than I do. I can just be like, yo, guys, what do you think about this? And then they tell me everything I need to know. And I'm
Sherpas,
like,
man.
Cool.
It was so fun because I've been streaming a lot this week. And everybody who's the regular, they're like, oh, yeah, okay, we know Destin's going to rage on the raid, right? But then the new people who had been stopping by, they're like, oh, man, I love this stream. It's so chill. You're just like, all the time.
Yeah.
And everyone else in chat is there all the time. They're like, Destin, wait for the raid.
There should be a fuse at the top that's like...
Champ talks about his TV.
Well, it's great. I wish I recorded for
Xavier Wipes again.
I sat next to you. I still sit close to you, but I sat next to you for 2 years while we were doing main Destiny coverage. And I could just like, you'd try and be quiet, but you were right behind me. And you could just be like, I could hear the frustration in your voice. Guys, just... this is so easy. Just pick it up. You guys are so bad. And like, I can feel the rage building in your voice. It was great.
He's gotten so much better.
Yeah.
That's what it's about, man.
It is fun. I will say the other neat thing was, you know, just having different type of, your three things, like your tether and all that stuff. I tethered Atheon. That's what I'm trying to say. And so that was
weird.
He was
so excited.
I was super excited. I was like, whoa, I've never done this before. And he dies in like,
so
60 seconds.
You can do it in two rounds pretty easy. Did you ever do it in one?
No, not in one. Aetheon, you can do in
People
one.
Are saying Dude. Dark Drinker him for a stationary phase, yeah. and you can do him in one phase.
You can easy phase one him if you're all using sleepers. Also, the trick is you can tether over and over again.
Yes.
It recharges instantly.
Yeah.
So, like, as long as you...
So you tether once, you do, like, a clip, you tether again.
Yeah, someone pointed that out to me. They were like, why aren't you tethering multiple times? And I was like, I tethered the first time. They were like, oh, but it recharges instantly. And I was like, oh. And then we one-shotted him easy.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. What other big year kind of two weapons were not around for that? I mean,
sleeper obviously. Yeah.
And then what else?
You were saying Dark Drinker?
Yeah, Dark Drinker wasn't around for all the raids. Right. Some, like Wrath, it was there for Wrath, but it wasn't there for Oryx, I don't think.
Yeah.
So no, it was there for Oryx. Yeah.
Which weapon? Mm-hmm.
Dark Drinker.
Exotic sword.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so
it wasn't there for Crota, so you run in, you kill all, you can kill the Death Singer in like a second. If you don't
you can
want to
also one shot Crota.
Yeah, one hit Crota. Yeah. So just seeing those kind of strats and actually doing it in that moment, it was super weird. I was like, oh, right, I have a different power weapon to actually use in this raid. So
I love going back to the old raids and just like
super
trouncing
cool.
people that like used to give you a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
It was cool because like, I remember I got back into when we did King's Fall again. I thought it was cool when I lean so heavily on my Galahorn like I think most people do.
Mm-hmm.
But rockets are not good in that raid. Like you want a good machine gun. So I remember.
In which one?
In King's Fall.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you want machine guns mostly. Yeah. And I remember being like, I'm going to pull out that old Thunderlord and get back to life. And it's so cool. It's good.
It's fun revisiting the old weapons and the old. What do you guys think of the challenges though? So Vault of Glass Oracles is a little shorter. The challenge is shooting all the Oracles. That's fine. Wrath, the challenges are the same. Oryx, the challenges are the same. And Crota.
They introduced, the sword stuff was one of the big new things. It's not a challenge.
Not a challenge.
Yeah. Oh. But I like that they redesigned a few. So yeah, sorry. Well, if it's not about redesign.
Or teleport. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But if it's about the challenges, I felt like, Crota's was the best put together of the older stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Vault, it was good, but not like.
Wait, sorry. What's the challenge on Crota?
Crota is you have to kill everything and then kill the Death Singer with the sword.
Oh, no, but he was saying for Crota. For Crota,
it's everybody has to use a sword once.
You can't drop the sword.
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
But basically, as long as you kill him quickly, then you can get through it with three people.
The thing is, you can
sword twice. Yeah. It's basically
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, the challenges, my complaint about the challenges, at least this time around, is most of the time they haven't affected our normal strategy enough to really change it up for me. So oftentimes, I'm not even aware of the challenge.
Because you're already doing it.
Yeah, we were already doing it, right? But like I was going to say, the one challenge I did really like was Aetheon on Vault of Glass, where it teleports three people, and then you all have to go in regardless if you don't get teleported. Mm-hmm. That was a neat little mechanic. It just involves the people who don't get teleported on the outside a little bit more.
I like that.
Because before they were just killing supplicants.
Yeah, you could still, could have, hopefully, the thing is, it was random, right? You could avoid it, maybe. You couldn't plan on it, but now they force everyone to go in through, which was a good way to do it.
Requires a little bit more communication. Now everyone's responsible for killing an Oracle, and you got to kill them in the right order, so you got to make sure you're not shooting them out of order, or like if you have Oracle number 5, you're not killing the 6th one or the 4th one. It's just kind of a little bit more involved. I like it.
Out of all the challenges, I don't know if it's because we got stuck on it for really long that one day, but definitely Wrath of the Machine. I just think the mechanics are a little weird, where you have to like explode on one of the three squares and then also detonate on its back. Mm-hmm. The timing's a little strange there.
It involves a lot of
communication.
And
a lot of communication between those double teams,
You also, you're
three teams. You need a middle, left,
that's
right.
So that's the thing is, your problem solving for twice as many spots is because he can teleport to three locations besides where he's already at.
Four,
I was going to say, the problem in the center is right. He goes down low and up top, remember?
If he teleports front mid,
if
he teleports front mid, it's not going to detonate in back. So it'll be left or right. So that's a little bit of a thank you there.
But the point is it keeps you
I do have to say one thing. I had a really exciting moment in Wrath. So we ran the really difficult one. We ran a super easy one next after that. And I got Randall the Vandal. He does exist. I couldn't believe it. That is like such a rare occurrence that I never thought I would see him.
Well, what was funny, I just happened to tune in to the stream on Fireteam Chat when you were playing right then. And actually someone right before made a joke about, hey, I'm going to do this and he'll appear.
Yeah.
And you're like, shut up. And then he was like right in front of Destiny. And then the guy, oh my god, yeah, he's here. Yeah. And then he's trying to take the screenshot like perfectly, like with he's like selfie with Randall. And like, the first one was like terrible, half of his face. And he like made them wait. He kept wiping so he could go back in and get a good photo.
Because Randall like one hits you.
Yeah. But you were like, don't kill him. I want a photo with him.
It was such a neat occurrence. What was to actually see it happen?
Do you remember what the lore behind that was? Like, was Randall?
So it used to be a glitch in year one. There was a vandal in the basement of Cosmodrome that was invisible, and you couldn't really kill him, right? And then they brought him back in the raid, but the chance of you getting to see him is
super
incredibly
rare.
Low.
I've seen him before, but how'd they get the name Randall? I don't remember that.
I think it was like a Reddit thread. They gave them
like
the name Randall.
Because it rhymes, obviously.
We all call the new dude Gary.
Oh, well, that's true. That's
all Cade gave us.
What's his real? Yeah, but what's his real name? No,
Gaul.
Gaul. Gaul. Sorry, Gaul.
Because he would have the gall to attack the tower.
Athiaons.
There you go. Yeah. Names.
Anyway, overall, definitely enjoying the new raids.
Yeah.
Few frustrating points, but it's mostly about communication.
I wanted to finish my earlier point, which was like, I really enjoy what they've done. It's like all the options are on the table. We just got through all four, have rolled out now.
Yeah.
So after this point, though, right, the challenge is still rotating, right?
It's going to go back to Crota.
Yeah, until the six-week period, right, that leads up to basically
the launch.
And then I believe they're all on, right?
I'm not sure.
What was that about? I forgot what the six-week thing was about. I thought it was about the challenges, not...
I'm not sure, but I know that I can do all of them at 390 right now, but challenge mode is only on for the featured one.
Right, well, meaning right now it rotates, but regardless, my point was, it's nice that all the raids have been rolled out now. Yeah. Everything's out there. The only thing is if you're chasing the challenge
or vision.
Reward, so, yeah.
And you can only get it during featured raid week.
Yeah.
So having said that, before we move on, what's your favorite raid now that you've gotten a chance to play them all back to back to back in this new current iteration?
Okay.
Still Vault of Glass.
Vault of Glass is fantastic.
Oh, man, I don't know.
You got to pick one.
It's like my favorite children. Which is your favorite child, CJ? You
would name wearing a Vault of Glass shirt.
just kidding, other two.
It's true. It's like, what character do you like most?
What character and raid do you like
Warlocks
most?
In the
I can't figure it out.
A Vault of Glass emblem is really, really cool, too.
It is.
Yeah, black
it is,
one with like all the little artifacts.
Oh, I love the Vault.
I wear that all the time, yeah.
That's which one?
Come back to me last. Give me a second.
All right.
I mean, I will say I do like the Crota raid. It's one of those things where, looking back, again, it felt really short, but I almost now prefer a short raid overall, which is odd because at first it seems like you're getting gypped like from a content standpoint, but overall that is about like the right length. Like King's Fall almost feels like two raids. Not that it's bad, but I like Crota. It is long.
I'm with you. I think Crota is my favorite due to length and because they changed the bridge mechanic. Everybody loves that bridge segment now.
Super
and before
cool.
It's like, how can we glitch this? And now it's like, oh, let's do the bridge thing because we all get to pick up those swords and kill everybody at the end. And I really like that tweak. I still love Vault of Glass. Vault of Glass is still one of my favorite raids ever, but Crota for length and for fixing a lot of the problems with it.
Yep,
most of the problems with it.
I also just like the Vex. I think the Vex are cool.
Vex are a cool enemy.
Wait, did you choose yet, Sean?
Yeah, I said Vault of Glass.
Waiting on you.
I've just been thinking Mirabella. About it. Like, I don't. It's again, it's hard to
choose a child.
I have a reason for
the other three die.
I have a reason for like Vault for sentiment as well as a bunch of other stuff. So yeah, for the specialty of it, Crota. Now that they've balanced it out, really comes together nice. I love like that dark, you know, enclosed run in the beginning, that like just the way it feels. And then as you, like you said, all the other reasons as you progress through it and even the boss fight, like now really nice use of, you know, just kind of what's out there where before you used to just stand on the window. So I think that's probably my favorite, but I mean, I really do appreciate that, call it Taken King is so like eclectic. Yeah. And then like Wrath, like it gets everybody involved and it made sure to
do it. I love the look of Wrath.
And Wrath like looks so cool.
I do really like, it's kind of like in that world, what you might call steampunky.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like not at all the aesthetic, but you know what I mean? Like this mix between like bio and like mechanic is really cool.
Yeah. Definitely. Sibified.
So the next topic that we were going to talk about on the show, now that we've talked about raids a little bit, we were going to discuss some of the challenges, challenges on the negative side, but some of the positive parts of Destiny 2 coming to PC. So this actually came from somebody you were chatting with. He works in the games industry.
Does.
And he brought up some of the pros and cons of Destiny coming to PC. Why don't you lead off the segment?
Yeah, so we were
all written on this piece of paper, if
perfect.
You need
thank
reference.
You, Destin. Yeah, I mean, we were just talking about some of the things. Obviously, it's good that it's coming to PC, but it introduces tons of challenges from what's the console going to be like? You know, what's the difference between the console and PC? Are there going to be those differences? Patches, updating, will they be the same? Mouse and keyboard. There's just tons of different things. And personally, for me, I would like to believe I'm going to play on PC. But, you know, backing away from the console, it's been in my DNA. So yeah. I don't think that's going to happen.
Do you mean play on both or Switch?
So
depends, right?
Depends, exactly. If there's character progression somehow between, like, I don't think there's going to be, you know, you can play against, if you're on PlayStation, you're going to play against Xbox or PC people. I don't think that's going to happen. But could you potentially somehow have your character go between all three? Mm-hmm. If that happens, then PC for sure. But I don't know.
Then you can jump to the console.
You mean build a new Destiny character, say, on PlayStation, but then move?
Well, if you were able to,
like, if you're playing one character on PlayStation 4, that progress transfers over.
Do you mean at any time, just the progression?
Yeah.
Oh, you were like, can at any time, can you just log in?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, think about it like as an instant standpoint, right? Like with PlayStation, when you log in, if you log in somewhere else, it signs you out of wherever. Imagine if you were able to potentially create your character on PlayStation, get up to level, let's say 40 for all intents and purposes, and then log on to PC with the same username, or there's an option to link it. And then you can choose whether or not you want to carry your progression through or totally start a different character.
Right. That would be really interesting.
Yeah, that would be awesome because then when I want to go to the lighthouse, I just log on to my PlayStation 4 character.
But isn't that what everybody...
close my eyes and just play over there.
Because they're so used to keyboard and mouse?
Because it's so much easier.
Yeah.
Sorry, what were you saying, Brian?
I was just going to say, wait, isn't that what everybody always wanted? But, like, contractually, usually that's the issue.
Right.
Like, you're not going to get PlayStation servers to talk to Xbox.
And no, but
you do have Windows 10 at least between them.
But if you think about it from a gameplay standpoint, I think that people obviously don't want to play. Like, I don't want to have cross-platform play at all. Like, I don't want to play on
PC.
You don't want to play PC
console.
Players on a console. Right. I mean, statistically, it's been proven that you're going to get wrecked.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Xbox, PlayStation, whatever it is. If I'm on Xbox, I do not want to play against, like, PC players. But if there is some way to potentially migrate the account or I can start on PlayStation and do that. And, I mean, that's potentially possible.
Like, my question was, don't you think they want to do that? And there's just been, like, meaning, do you think Bungie never – oh, because that was my viewpoint. Yeah. I didn't mean to be, like, patronizing or anything. It's literally just like, oh, well, I assume they want that. But, like,
because
it's like a no-brainer. But, like, it, never mind building the support. I think it's like a contractual, like, between companies.
I want to see this game
sharing the data
on all platforms. I don't think we're going to get the crossplay, like, because you got the Scorpio in the mix, right?
Yes.
You got PC and you got PS4, and all those platforms are exciting for different reasons.
Yep.
I don't have a PS4 Pro yet. I want to see the enhancements that are going to happen for Destiny 2 on PS4 Pro. PC. Yeah. I want to see how good it looks on PC and Scorpio. I don't even know what the Scorpio is yet, so I just want to see how it feels on that platform.
It's a Microsoft console.
I've heard of this company.
The Xbox One.
It's actually the most powerful console that's going to be on the market.
Purportedly based on specs.
Purportedly based on facts.
I'm kidding. Specs?
Yeah, true.
I believe, by the way, current specs show Scorpio is the most powerful console.
Yeah.
It is more powerful than
I want to see what Sony's going to do to
how the output.
They're not going to address it, probably.
I can't wait, you know. But
I don't think they have to.
But I was just
market share. Yeah.
But I was
they have exclusive content and stuff. So
yeah,
that's true. Yeah. But anyway,
that's the thing. Is that going to be enough to draw away from the Scorpio enthusiasts and the PC people?
What, PlayStation?
To play on PlayStation for that exclusive content. And what is that exclusive content? Is it a gun, like an exotic gun? Then maybe. Is it a strike or something? Then maybe.
It'd probably
but
be
if
similar,
it's something like legendary armor, I don't think that's going to be enough.
Legendary armor? I mean, it wasn't legendary armor the last couple times.
Yes, it has been. There's legendary exclusives that you can get on PlayStation that don't exist.
Yeah, there are.
Okay, well, as an Xbox player, I wouldn't have known that.
Yeah.
There was, like,
what I mean is,
like,
Sublime Engrams, and those are the exclusives.
What? Yeah. I've never even heard of that. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I imagine it'll be similar scope to, like, the year one and year two sort of exclusives, like a strike, a potential, like, couple of weapons. Exotic weapons specifically?
Yeah. I think they'll take the same type of path they've taken. So, yeah, a couple of exotics we know are the coveted thing. So guess what? If PlayStation's going to pay for something, probably exotics are on the list.
Reining it back into the PC conversation, the thing that I thought of immediately and we discussed was, what is going to happen about the surprises due to modding on PC.
Right.
Like, people are going to be able to take that game and tear it apart, and are we going to lose those surprises? That was my concern.
So, yeah, just thinking about how many games Bungie's actually developed for PC that were on console first, like Halo 2 Vista is the only one that I can think of that they really did that with. And so, yeah, data mining, hacks, and that wasn't even really Bungie.
It was Gearbox. Gearbox made the Firebox.
Right, yeah. And it was, like, way after. I mean, I think Halo 3 was almost out or out at the time.
Yeah.
So just thinking of, you know, them bringing it this time at the same time is very surprising. And so, yeah, like that to me is the concern. Like Bungie obviously, I think, shied away from doing this the last how many years for whatever reason.
Yeah.
And now that they're bringing it to PC at the same time as console, it'll be interesting to see if they actually have some of those challenges.
Look at this. Look at the Grand Theft Auto mods. Look at the Street Fighter mods.
Yeah, just mods and
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, like every time they introduce DLC, even on the OG Xbox. That's how I did that. Not Xbox One. Halo 2, they had problems like with action replay and people downloading hacks. There was always some kind of issue whenever you got the content off of, you know, the hard drive.
PC market's better about that stuff right now.
Yes, they are. Yeah, I'm potentially worried about hacks. And that's why I think Bungie is as well.
Worry about lag switching on consoles.
That kind of stuff too. Some of the other things that Belzac was actually talking about too are even just potentially how it affects the game, like macros and maybe being able to switch weapons faster by having
that stuff's good.
That's what I'm saying. That is like the reason to, it's going to be a different environment.
And so that's the thing. Like
144 frames a second.
Yeah, exactly. It's not bad, but definitely there are going to be things where I think there's going to be a lot of things that creeps up in the PC versus console debate that are things we're not even really sure of right now, because they're going to affect gameplay pretty dramatically, and you might gravitate towards one or the other based on the stuff that you
I think, yeah, that's what I was trying to understand. You think that the PC influence might affect the entire design, is what you're saying?
Well, yeah, depending, right? And that's the thing. Without
it becomes
knowing,
the most popular platform.
Well, I mean, this is a super inside baseball example, but like back in the day when I played World of Warcraft as a Death Knight, you had a little ghoul that was like your
Gary?
Yeah. You had like an undead ghoul that could like walk around and attack people. It was like your pet, right? And one of the things you could macro in as a Death Knight to kill other Death Knight's pets was this little macro that would target automatically and cast a spell at it. You didn't have to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
You would just click it, and it would auto-target. It would run a command that would auto-target this thing, shoot one of your spells at it, and hit it. I could think
you
of
would kill other people's pets?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, man.
If you didn't, it was just going to sit there attacking you, interrupting your spells.
You're already undead, weren't they?
Yeah. But like the point is, I could definitely see PC players getting into the code of Destiny and changing the creating
weapon
macros to make
like
more
that.
Not weapon balance, because you can't change the weapon specifically, but writing these scripts that allow you to make better use and more or use weapons more efficiently. So like for instance a Plan C, right? When you switch to it, it auto fires really a lot faster on that first shot. Think if you wrote a script that all you had to do was press a button and it would swap your weapons, fire the first shot and swap back, and all you had to do instead of three commands,
you can set a mouse.
Yeah.
It's just a roll wheel. Like
that stuff is going to get picked up in multiplayer though. I mean there's tools out there that Bungie already has that can recognize.
No, but that's CJ's like that. Point is like if that becomes a dominant strategy and it makes Plan C way more efficient than it was intended, then that could potentially affect Bungie's design of that very weapon across the board.
That's a good point.
That's kind of what he's getting
at. Because if you think about
it, there's unforeseen potential in that kind of market.
Yes. You know,
that's going
to
be a challenge.
They're able to compare that data with the other platforms. This is a great point, but at least they should be able to see, call it the anomaly.
Sure, but then does it lead to... Okay, now PC's independently balanced Xbox.
What do you think Bungie's going to do, based on what they normally do?
I think
they've never done this PC strategy before.
Going to independently balance them. Yeah, I mean, because if there's certain things that are dominant on PC, and the game is a totally different strategy.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. If it is, you're right, if it has a support from the PC dev, and they're willing to make it focused on all... Call it what the pros are, you know, look at it from the positive side. There's a lot you can do with PC, and that crowd's going to play it differently.
100%.
So maybe you do need to balance it for that.
I want to see the mods. I want to see the crazy stuff people are going to do. Are you going to have a gun that shoots Randall the Vandals? You know? Something like that.
Randall.
Yeah.
I mean, like...
Are you going to get the portal gun in there somehow? Yeah, you know, they've done some crazy stuff with GTA. So.
I mean, you're totally right, but that requires... GTA is a little bit more... Mm-hmm. That's different because I don't see Bungie granting PC players access to the code.
They won't,
right?
But they didn't for Mortal Kombat either, and people did some really fun stuff with Mortal Kombat X.
People will figure it out, but...
Yeah.
But again, that all that stuff's optional. It's not like it shows up in your core game.
Yeah.
No, but it's just that thought of like, those of us who like to min-max, like the thought of knowing that there's a more efficient way of doing something, that kind of, I don't know if I like that.
I'm not saying it as a bad thing.
It's your choice, though.
I'm saying I can't wait for the modder community to like, let me control the camera, like let me detach my camera and fly it around and make, and it'll allow for a machinima, people to make better user movies.
At least when you're dead, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
I think you do that in private matches.
You can sort of like hack it right now with the sword. You can go like no HUD, unless, and you can go
like even in your own created private match. You can't just you can't separate your camera.
No. Yeah, there is no tool. No. Like, I know you're thinking like, oh, I never really looked for it. It's not there.
It's crazy. Yeah, I mean, I haven't really used private matches on that.
Yeah, because Halo 3, like probably the most complete version of that was like Call of Duty Black Ops.
You can't even spectate.
It was one of those things, where you could finish the round, go back, and take the camera anywhere, and even
fly
Halo
around.
3, yeah,
Gears of War did it.
Halo,
and so it was
Halo 3, you can do that.
I think we'll get spectating in
Forge mode.
I don't know if off the bat. But
these are tools that Bungie invented.
I know.
Which is crazy, right?
I mean, I would love to see that. I don't know if they will actually make that as a functional feature in it. It would be great if they did.
Because
the only reason why I don't think so is because, a lot of that infrastructure they've done before, I don't know why they took it out of Destiny in the first place. But
it had to be like a limitation.
Let me say this. I know that Bungie is Bungie. And so meaning Bungie... They're the creative artists in control of what they make. I mean, that's been made clear, but Activision is a very big part of this game, and who owns the MLG? Activision. And who has Call of Duty Esports Division? Activision. And what is Bobby Kotick's most important next endeavor, basically, is esports. It's one of the biggest things out there. Also, I'm not saying...
What are their top two franchises? Call of Duty and this little game Destiny.
That's right. And exactly. So I'm not saying... No, I know what everyone's thinking. Oh, I don't know. It's going to be an esport. And that's a different discussion. But at the very least, you'd think that these tools and feeling that out are going to be there. Maybe more leaderboard stuff. Yeah. Tiers, all the above.
I would love that. Yeah. I mean, there was cooler than after the end of like Halo 3 going in and getting that perspective on the camera. You're like, and you look at your snipe from 50 different angles.
Oh, yeah.
The
Halo 3 replays were like, look at that. Did you see that grenade thing I got in that last match? I want to rewind and watch it again.
There's great clips from Halo 3 where people hurl a grenade
today.
And 5 minutes later they get a kill. And you have to go look.
Find where
like
it was. Yeah.
Grenade, you lock onto the grenade and it's flying across the map, lands in an elevator, gets thrown up, lands on another grenade, gets exploded, shot across the map and stick someone on the head.
It's like a road cone. The road cone goes flying and kills somebody. That was in Halo 3.
Yeah,
like,
totally.
That was a trophy, I think.
And Reach did that really well as well, too, in their 4
games. I mean, really, all the Halo games, because of Bungie, like, those tools exist, and it's way, I don't know, it's way more involved for the players, and it allows for people to do way more outside of the game as far as content creation goes. Like, there are people who make their names off making montages instead of playing, and, like, that's super cool.
Yeah,
definitely cool.
And I was just going to finish that point with the other, like, obvious... Oh, and guess what? One of the hottest new shooters on the scene is
Counter-Strike.
Overwatch.
Oh, yeah.
Blizzard. Activision.
Yeah.
So anyway, esports aside, I just would hope that you've got to imagine they met and talked is all I'm saying. So whatever the next Call of Duty is, I don't think they talk as much as we think they do. Yeah. Like, you know, Sledgehammer's busy with Call of Duty. Bungie's busy with their game and Blizzard's busy with Overwatch, but
they put
have
foot in the water with these
power-ups.
Private matches.
Yes.
And they actually did a mini tournament amongst like some of the higher level Destiny players. Mm-hmm. So with Red Bull, remember? They did the Red Bull sponsor thing with Rift's reveal. Mm-hmm. So they're talking about it.
But the esports genre.
But I'd love to see it go towards esports. We've had the discussion whether or not it's right for it. But the very least, the tools, man. Like some leaderboards, some spectating. We all, as a community, want it regardless of whether it's an esport.
Yeah. What's interesting is private matches are there. I haven't seen anybody really harness them that much.
Well, it's because of some of these issues, I think. It's just hard. It's a little hard to set up a private match. I mean, you can't just like set up a really easy, call it tournament opt in, you know, and just have people like joining and rotating through it. Or
if only they had like dedicated servers.
There was the next question. Yeah. That was the last thing that we were talking about. And he was like, will it have dedicated servers across all game modes? Like maybe not. Maybe it just might be dedicated servers for specific game modes. Like, and if it's not.
What if PC is the only one that gets
dedicated? What if PC is the only one that gets servers? Yeah. And so that's a legitimate concern, right? It's like that might happen, and you don't know because it's a possibility, right?
Why wouldn't they?
you know, a lot of bandwidth, a lot of infrastructure. It costs a lot.
They have.
Oh, yeah, Activision.
It's seriously, no, know, it's their number two property. Issue. It's their number two property. So I think with Destiny 1, they're like, we're not sure. Destiny 2, they're like, oh, yeah, you did fine. Like, let's get those dedicated servers.
I really hope they have dedicated servers. It would bum me out as an Xbox player or a console player in general if my platform was not getting the treatment that
dedicated servers
offer.
On everything but Scorpio. Or dedicated servers only on
exclusive
Scorpio.
To PS1.
But if it came to, if PC happened to have that support, it shame on Microsoft, who has the one of the it's largest.
They're the PC.
They have so many servers out there, you know, the whole cloud computing thing. Like, they have so much at their disposal.
So here's the thing is like, it is not unrealistic that if PC gets private servers, I mean, not private servers, dedicated servers, that Xbox will as well and not PS4.
That's what I'm saying. It
because
could
they can and Phil Spencer's been very outspoken about making sure that games kind of have a new, like, within the Xbox/PC ecosystem, they have this kind of parity.
Yeah.
Like, they're seeing similar features. They're building the Xbox OS into PCs going forward. Like, that's interesting.
Definitely really exciting. What do you guys think? Let us know in the comments below. Or you can call in at speakpipe.com/fireteamchat to tell us what you think about Destiny 2 coming to PC. We do have one more small note quick. Call of Duty World War II has officially been announced. A worldwide reveal live stream is happening Wednesday, April 26th at 9:45 a.m. Pacific, 12:45 p.m. Eastern. IGN will even be doing our own pre-show for the Call of Duty event, followed by a deeper analysis into the game afterward. So make sure you tune in to that. If you are a Call of Duty fan, CJ, you're producing it, correct?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it looks hopefully the World War II side of Call of Duty will be fun. I mean, I have been a Call of Duty player over the years. You know, the whole boots on the ground thing, people miss. There's a lot of futuristic flying and a lot of, you know, gadgets from the last few Call of Duties that were good, but it made it a little less approachable. So yeah, kind of back towards, you know, the olden days of Call of Duty. Yeah, it'd be interesting to see where it goes.
Yeah.
I hope there's a horse.
Exactly.
Probably not in multiplayer.
Horses weren't that big in World War II, were they?
In Battlefield 1, they were big.
It's World War 1, though. Right?
Next time. Bring them back. Bring back the old horses. Yeah. Let them have one more run at it.
You want to be riding around on Seabiscuit while everyone's following you with
he wants his
tanks,
one last hurrah.
Dropping bombs on you.
Dude, it was awesome in Battlefield 1. Yeah.
Horse
doing?
Is a little more World War 1 than 2. Anyways. Not as much horse. Do we know who's hosting that yet and the talent on that? It's next Wednesday?
Yes, next Wednesday, 9:45 is our pre-show. Damon and Marty Sleva will be hosting. Yep. And then, so the Call of Duty is actually going to have their trailer, I think, revealed at 10. And then we're going to do a post-show and reveal analysis after from there.
Show. Cool. Yeah, so awesome. Check that out, you guys, if you are into Call of Duty. That is all we have time for on Fireteam Chat, though. We just want to let you know about that exciting event that we're hosting. Thank you all so much for joining me, and thank you to everybody who listened. But until next time, Guardians out.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.